Hi, is this Question Mark?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Sarah. I'm at CKUT. I'm your interviewer tonight. How are you?
Oh, fine. Doing really good.
You can hear me all right and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So this is going to be on my little dog is barking. This is going to be on the radio live?
No, not live. It'll probably air tomorrow. I'm going to send the promoter lady, Isabel, the links to it, and then she could send it to you if you want to hear it or find out what time it's on.
Okay.
Yeah. So can I call you Question Mark, or do you just prefer to be like asked with a question intonation?
So well, yeah, I mean, just Question Mark in the beginning, and then they call me Q after that.
Okay. So yeah. I'm not sure if you want to discuss it, but I've heard that you are an otherworldly creature. Can you tell me what it's like at all on Mars, or is it better than Earth, if you want to talk about it?
Well, like I said, my soul originated on the so-called planet Mars.
Okay.
Because, see, I'm a very profound person. I explain it like nobody else, naturally, because I live many different lives, so I have a lot of experience, and it all comes natural to me. And I've always been a famous person. Well, to get back to the so-called planet Mars, the reason I say that is because when our creator, by the way, we call him God, but really that's just in reference, because if we didn't call him God, what else? Well, I said he or it or whatever, right?
Do you just mean kind of like
some kind of word, or otherwise we wouldn't have any words. But he created everything at one time. So, and he didn't name everything, because it's all one thing. There's no names to it. And because as time progressed, like I said, the Romans, they named the six planets, right?
Yeah.
You know, and Mars was after their warrior of war, their god.
Uh-huh.
Well, how stupid. Is he still around?
The warrior of God.
I know we do have many wars, but...
Oh, I see.
And that's, like I said, we have to make many changes before we can even get on. But yeah, and that's why we have ice caps. And, you know, on the North Pole up there and then the Southern Pole and a lot of these other places. But there used to be life on Mars, so-called planet Mars.
Yeah.
There used to be life. And they are going to find the ancient ruins. I've been saying this all my life, and, you know, the so-called planet Mars gets stronger and stronger in the news, things like that, right?
Yeah, people are thinking about visiting. Have you heard all this?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
But see, right now, my name is on a planet, so-called planet Mars right now. In 1999, anyways, there's a story to it, but the landers that are on there... that's another story, but it's a very profound story. But anyways, you could send your name to Mars. And I didn't know that. I went to the website. I was going to do I'm skipping over a lot of things. But I was going to search for something else, which I hardly ever use the internet. But it just said, send your name to Mars. And I said, oh, my God, I'm going home. Not physically, but I am going home. And so for NASA put it on there in 1999, right?
Yeah.
And 13 is my number. Not, I don't believe in numerology or nothing like that, but it's very profound.
You just have a connection with it.
Huh?
You just have a connection with it?
Well, it's so profound. Like I said, I don't believe in numerology and all those kind of things that everybody does, you know, on Earth.
And
all those kind of things to get into. There's no psychics and there's no aliens and things like that. Like I said, I know everything. And but it takes me a long time to explain, which I do have a lot of time. And then once I explain to you, then it makes more sense. Like I said, when we first came out, people said, oh, what's the meaning behind question mark in mysterious?
Yeah.
And I said, it is so profound that if I told you, man could not comprehend the meaning.
But do you think it comes across in your songs? Like, do you think that people kind of feel it?
No. It has nothing to do with that. My songs are totally... a lot of people say, well, you ought to write things like that in your songs. I said, no. I'd rather talk about it so you understand what I'm talking about. Because, see, you understand my song has a beat you can dance to.
Yeah.
And I'm dancing to my song. So, if I'm dancing, I don't want to listen. I mean, the lyrics are important, but not... and those kind of subjects, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's something that you really want to talk about, because this is something that, especially when I talk about it, nobody else is talking about it. And like I said, the human race really exists on other planets, we'll call them planets, mm-hmm. But they all exist underground. And the reason for that is because their metabolism is so much different, so much higher than ours. They don't need what we need to exist. So, by living, everybody says, well, when we go on Mars and all that kind of stuff, we're going to build, cities and with a dome and all that kind of stuff, protect against the weather and all that.
Yeah.
Why?
So they can breathe.
No. Underground? Why can't you do it underground?
I don't know. Is there air underground?
No, but this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's why these fascinating moons that we're searching now, you wonder why there's so much water.
Yeah.
Because, see, the human race, all you need is to survive underground and you don't have to, and everyone's naked because, do you have to have Nikes? Do you have to have name it, what kind of clothing from Sears, JCPenney's?
No,
you have to have
so.
A big tag washer? No, because if you don't live in the elements, when you're underground, right, you don't have rain, you don't have dust storms, you don't have mud, you don't have any of that, so you don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but see, we get so brainwashed and so, how would you say it, because of Hollywood and TV, every time we see all these people, I never seen Star Trek. I don't even look at the science channel because it's all baloney. Because everybody has to wear clothes, right?
Yeah, but it's a fantasy. It's like art. Do you have any other kind of art that you create that tries to give the feeling of something? Like, I think it's just supposed to give the idea of what space could be like or what we could think of and how that would be, I don't know, an alternate existence, you know?
Well, like I said, the human race really exists. But how can we meet, the human race that's already been there before us if we can't even get along with each other? And the reason I say that, because, see, we just completed a film that we made ourselves, and it's called It's a Crazy World, C-R-A-Z-Z-Y.
Yeah.
And see, I've always been doing that with my words, right from the beginning, like 18. In our first album, it's got an 8 and a teen, right?
Yeah.
Instead of the usual way you spell it, like Alice did, 18.
Why is that? What?
I don't know, but then on my first album, Upside, I have a song called Upside. I put the UP upside down. Because, these are the things that just come to me. And if you saw it in print, they said, oh, somebody made a mistake.
Uh-huh.
But see? The reason is, why does everything have to be so formal? Like when you see AT&T, the four columns or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Everything has to be like this, or if it's not, it's out of place, or you're disorganized, and they base you on that.
I think it's just tradition. Like, I think that people are just used to seeing something one way, and when they see it the other way, they don't understand why it would be. Like,
yeah, so everybody has to follow.
Yeah.
In order for it to be right.
Yeah.
In order to be normal, which is there ain't no such existence, because everybody is unique. But what
no,
I'm saying,
I don't think everybody is. You might be, but
oh, maybe. Yes, we are. Because you know why? Our Creator created us with the uniqueness. But you know what happens?
No.
Like I said, in 1977, when the punk movement started all over again, but the Pistols, they messed it all up by putting violence in the lyrics. And see, my songs have an attitude.
Yeah.
And see, and they have profound, sensitive emotions and feelings. You don't have to see, they took it somewhere else, trying to create a different mood. a different mode for, you know, what punk and music should be and all that kind of stuff.
I think it's just a natural feeling for different people. Like, some people feel the kind of vibe that you have, and some people feel just like some kind of rage inside. Like, they want an outlet for that, and they want it to be kind of constructive, so they make it into music or they make it into performance. But
yeah, but see, like you said, why don't I put those kind of things in my songs? But I don't, because I mean, they would get further if they would make a stand in public.
Uh-huh.
And really mean what they say about the Queen as far as the Pistols, things like that, right? You know, but then you get, your career can be jeopardized because it's in the form of a song. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, so they didn't have a career because of it. Like, their career ended. They were just hated all over the world. You guys, I guess you've been embraced. How, like, your career has been going on for, like, 40 years, something like that. How do you have the energy? Like,
43. And remember, we were together in 62, 4 years before that. So that's 47 years.
Yeah.
And then I've been on stage all my life.
Well, where do you pull it from? It's just natural to you.
Well, I can, you know, people said I should write a health book on that. But you have to pertain and do it yourself. Okay, you know my keyboard player, right? Little Frank.
Yeah.
Well, I talk about, you know, your weight and to people, how to control your weight, how to your metabolism, which is one thing is kelp,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's very cheap. And kelp, like I said, if you eat a lot but you can't gain weight, it's because your thyroid is messed up. And if you don't eat a lot but you're overweight and you can't lose it, it's because it's the opposite way. Your thyroid is whack. So you take kelp and that maintains it, and you keep, you know, your body metabolism, so you have a lot of energy. But there's other factors, but that's the most important one.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyways, but vinegar, apple cider vinegar,
yeah,
is very good for your, you know, for your legs, for your muscles.
There's a lot of like miracle foods, like things that you can just eat that help maintain your health. Ginger, garlic,
yeah.
Cayenne pepper, anything, like a hot pepper, those things.
Yeah, I take that. But see, I take the pills.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, and the cinnamon. Cinnamon is very good for stabilizing, if you're a diabetic, your sugar, so it won't go up or down.
Yeah, I have a dream that I just have a garden and I can grow all this stuff and just, like, eat it naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the pills, I don't know. Like, it's okay, but it seems like you can just picture the factory where they make all this stuff and who knows what else is in it. I guess it kind of sketches me out, but maybe I'm just paranoid.
But like I said, I mean, I do eat all those kind of stuff. But, you know, when you're busy like me and I was on the go, then you don't have the time and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I do take the supplements. But I take them from a reliable source. But even then, like you said, are you sure?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
but then that plays mentally on your mind, right? And sometimes that works. But anyways, yeah, so like I said, I did have my own radio show. And I did my first broadcast on 666. That's the 6 month, the 6 day of the 6 year,
yep.
2006. But like I said, you know, I don't believe in all that kind of stuff and things like that. And I didn't even introduce myself. Like I said, I don't sit down. I'm still performing. I'm just not singing. But, you know, I'm walking around and everything, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's no script, and I just talk to you. Like I said, it's about me and you. Let me know what's on your mind. I said, I know a lot of you don't like to speak what's on your mind because you're scared because if you do, you'll lose your job. And I said, well, lose your job.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's how you make a difference. I mean, it's like this. You know, at that year, the gas was very high. And we saw the Mexicans going out, you know, out in the streets and for immigration and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody saw that on TV.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And everybody saw when we were protesting the world. I mean, the war at that time. In 2002, whatever it was, that year, you
I'm
know?
I'm not sure, yeah. I know the war, but it's been ongoing, so I don't know which year.
Yeah, you know, the first time, even London, we saw everybody coming out to the streets.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want the war, we don't want the war, everywhere, you know? But what I'm saying, in order to make a difference, that's what's got to be done. And I said, just like the Mexican people, when they came out and they protested about immigration, everybody saw it on TV. Well, you know, I don't use words like issue because that's what it remains, especially in politics, right? So I use the word situation because if you got yourself in a situation foolishly,
mm-hmm.
or somebody put you in that situation, how long do you want to be in it? Mm-hmm. It depends on you to get out of it. But because we deal with the nations, you know, in your country, in our country, right? You know, it's for us to get out there in the streets and call the newspapers, call the radio stations, call the TV stations, call everybody, and then said, hey, guess what? We're not going to go to work for 2 weeks. What are they going to do, fire the whole country?
I don't know. That kind of initiative is impossible to organize. People are so caught up in their own lives.
Well, yeah, but see, society, even though we are society, even though we are the government, no matter where you are, we are still the government. And the way I explain that is, okay, I'm born, you're born, then our members in the audience are listening to us, they're born, we become a small group, right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're society. But because we're busy building our cities and farming and all that kind of stuff, we cannot run the country, so other people have other abilities, they're doctors, they're lawyers, and things like that. So we vote them in to control so things don't get out of hand, right? This is in the beginning.
Yes.
Before there was any, all this computer and newspaper, radio, television, when there were just man corresponding with man and, you know, building a town to survive. In other words, we want to survive, so from the weather elements and all that stuff, so we got to work together.
Yeah.
Okay, but now we incorporate these people, we elect them and all that stuff, and if something's going wrong, hey, we're going to sit down and make common sense of why, you know, it ain't working out. And when we find out, we get rid of that person. We bring in another person, you know, because we don't got time for all this. Not when we're trying to, you know, survive and we have families and things like that. Okay, but what I'm saying, though, but now everybody's got so much to do. I mean, everything's going so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Society has made so many toys for, you know, for the human race to play with. They don't have time even to talk on the phone for 5 minutes. About really situations that really matter.
Yeah,
because,
they just don't want it anymore. Like, they've gotten to the point where they're raised with clips of things. Like, everything is very convenient, and they want it to remain that way because it's what you're used to. I think that it'd be very hard to get back to any kind of, like, simpler way. It's just going to get more complicated, really, like, more technology on top of it. You can't break down the system. You just have to, like, build a new system out of it.
And then that's society, right?
Yeah.
So, and then the government... Then we grow from society into a government, but somehow the government has been taken away in many countries from the people.
Yeah.
When it happened, how it happened, and now, so that's what I'm saying. We have to take it back because it was ours in the first place. I mean, the people are what makes up the world. The peoples are what make up the cities, the states. It ain't these faceless people. Well, yeah, we elect these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other people that we don't even know who they are or how the money's going or where it's going or whatever. But I'll tell you what, they know our bank account. They know our taxes. They know everything about us, right?
Yeah,
but we don't know about these.
They have such complicated systems of control, and they keep it in place with, like, serious force. Like, there's just no way to fight against it sometimes. People become very hopeless, and then it's really easy to rely on comforts, you know, like a... sensual comforts, television, movies, whatever it is, new shoes, all of these things, because you just can't fight what is already made, you know?
Well,
it's big.
In time, we can.
Mm.
And I explain it like this. The music situation, how it is right now, the movie situation, how it is right now, I mean, it's just so out of hand. Music is really lost, you know? It's so pathetic. I mean, you see all these... young artists. I mean, if you were to go back in the 60s and the 70s, remember the 50s, we had the doo-wop, so that's a little different era.
Yeah.
But when music became, I mean, they would not even record these people out that are out there right now. You know? They say, go home and practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, those generations of people that handled them, they either passed away. Now you got people that are 25, 20, 23, or early 30s or something like that, right? And they think this is what music is all about. Somebody forgot what music was all about. And I say it like this. When you wake up in the morning, like I said, we're programmed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you turn on the radio, and subconsciously you hear something, and you might hate it, but what can you do? So your mind turns it on and says, oh, I can live with it. You'll like it. You'll grow to like the song. The same thing with TV, right? Man, what a crummy show. But...
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
The movie that you have coming out, what's the premise?
Okay, well, the thing is, and this was based on a lady that it had something to do with Blair Witch.
Okay.
Anyways, she wanted to do I Need Somebody, my second song, just an 8-minute film, but I'm very hard to get a hold of, so she got a hold of Bobby, my guitar player. And they started talking about it. She wanted to use I Need Somebody, and the premises for her short film was, okay, she has a Farfisa. She goes to plug it in the wall, but naturally the adapters, the plugins aren't, you know, you have to get an adapter now. So she gets on her scooter, goes to the warehouse and hardware store, gets an adapter, brings it back, plugs it in, and she starts playing the chords. So I Need Somebody. Dan, 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 dan. Then she goes in. Dan, 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 dan. And then it goes into the original song. And that was it. And it's called Another Woman. And so I'm pretty sure if somebody Google that, you'll see what it's about. But then they start talking about, and she read about me, where my soul originated on so-called planet Mars, and we should make a short film about this and things like that. So then Bobby approached me with that, and I wrote the script just like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, and Bobby said, well, how are we going to survive? I said, well, the body metabolism is so much different that you don't need the water that we need every day here. And then the food, it's in the air. I mean, right now we breathe in things and they're entering our body. We can't see them, right?
Yeah.
But if your body metabolism is so much different because the human race is so much advanced, well, they don't need McDonald's. They don't need all that stuff. See, when I talk about survival, you really don't need what we need. Because we're used to it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like I said, it hasn't even been 250 years, maybe 150 years since we connected, you know, with the railroad. I mean, I'm talking about the United States, right? You know, and, from the east to the west, right? Well, but see, the Indians were here before, and so were the Mexican people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were up to the Mississippi and all that kind of stuff, right? And things like that, even though they got along with each other, even though they had different tribes, because everybody's always been a tribe, but yet they lived among each other. And like I said, right now, if we would go back in time up to now, 150 years, and go back to where the Indians were, they don't need the highways. They don't need the tall structures. They don't need the computers. They don't need anything we have because they already had what they needed, what they wanted, and that would just survive. And they had their customs. You would be born, and you would have children, you would marry, have more children, and then you would die. And then the land would provide. And like you said, there's so many things out there that are so natural for us to eat and everything that we don't even need to eat meat. But what I'm saying, though, and they had the buffalo because that was their provisions for the winter, for their tents. For their coats and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think
so
it was an ideal
them.
Existence. I think it was really ideal. Do you think that your movie talks to that, like this ideal vision that you have for people? When do you think it'll be out?
Okay, well, like I said, but then we come along, the American, but you know what?
What?
Oh, my God, they got to have this land because they got to dig. They got a good dig for the minerals, for iron, because we remember England now, right? A lot of this ancestors from the other countries, right?
Yeah.
They're coming over here. So they need all this armor. They need all these metals. And they're underground because they know that. Oh, but yet, you know, the money, see, it's always been about money. So we live in a nation, in a world, really, that's corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because now we got to get rid of the buffaloes because we need the land to raise the cattle and the sheep,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So and how you do that? You got to annihilate the Indians because they can no longer exist. You know, so and that's been throughout all the countries. Did you know that the people of German are really not German?
What are they?
The Romans gave them that name.
The Germanic people. Sure, yes.
No, before their name was something like it started with a B, but once the Romans conquered them, see. Anytime somebody conquered somebody throughout the ages, throughout the centuries, right, you cannot no longer have them people exist because, you know, they have to, like, we Americanize everything, right?
Yeah, so you title them and you assimilate them.
Those people, their customs, their language can no longer exist. And that's power.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we do, try to do with the Indians. We try to annihilate them so they couldn't exist anymore, but it didn't work, you know, and things like that.
But it didn't work, but it's hard for them to exist. Like, yeah, there's no like culture left for them to go to. Like, they have to live the way that, that white people live, you know?
Well, but like I said, you know, well, on that part, too, we got to get rid of those. Oh, like my movie, like I said. So they kidnapped me. You know, the human race on the so-called planet Mars, right? Because, see, somebody heard a concert. I mean, they heard about us, and they want to do a concert, so they want to gather the question mark and the missionaries together. Mm-hmm. So they tell Bobby to get everybody together and do a concert, right? It's been like 20 years. But I've been, okay, so Bobby gets a hold of me, and then I'm on the radio, and I'm talking about, they say, well, where was you born? And like I've been saying all my life, well, my soul originated on a so-called planet Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and NASA, if they were really interested in finding ancient ruins on the so-called planet, I mean, you're not going to lift a rock or get some sand or whatever up there, right? Mm-hmm. You got to dig 1,000 feet mm-hmm. and put a camera down there. Then you're going to find that man once existed there. And this, I mean, that part is true. See, my movie's like fiction, nonfiction, and has a lot of humor in it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, like I said, Obama, I wasn't surprised by that because since 97, I've been saying in about 200 to 300 years from now, we're not going to have this kind of presidency that the United States has. And I like to say we because, you know, I include everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that separates us is border lines and all that kind of stuff. But as we are all people. We are all one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how anybody looks at it, but, you know. And like I said, and not to get too far away from subjects, everybody makes fun of everybody. Say, oh, they got a funny accent, right?
Yeah.
No, they don't. I mean, when you go into their world, that's their language. That's the way they talk.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's just contextual.
So, I mean, there's nothing funny about it. But yet, in turn, they say, oh, you guys sound funny. See, nobody sounds funny. Nobody has an accent. That's their world. When you go into people's world, you're going to discover many things that are different from your world. And you should. But and a lot of people say, oh, you have a funny accent. You know, but nobody has a funny accent. That's the way they talk. I mean, how can you help yourself, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you knew anything, you know, if you were, like I said, anyways, but in my movie, and I've been saying this since 97, you know, the presidencies over here are just not going to be Democrat or Republican anymore,
uh-huh.
and in a lot of other places, but for our country here, we're going to have like a council, and it's going to consist of all the ethnic groups there are, you know, because basically now we know what America basically is made up of. As far as the people and
mm-hmm.
ethnic groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's, Obama, I've been saying this in 97, Obama is the beginning of what I was saying that's going to develop in 300 years from now. But, you know, what's wrong? They said the first African American and all that kind of stuff. Well, when is the first Chinese president of the United States, the first Jewish president, the first Mexican president, the first. See, we got to get rid of all that first.
Uh-huh.
You know, because that's. That's ignorance. But in my movie, so when they come to rescue me on the so-called planet Mars, and this is a very profound, like I said, it's very profound, and I put those there because this is what I really talk about.
Yes.
And it's nonfiction. Okay, Bobby says, oh, my a Mexican dude, right? And that would be Eddie Serrato. And everybody has the initials of the alphabet and the number 52, okay? But anyways, so Eddie's E52, you know, because you don't need an address and all, you ain't getting mail. Everything's done telepathically. And like I said, they're naked because they don't need clothes. And Bobby said, oh, no, but you can't do that in the movie.
Oh, why not? Sure you can.
I said, why not?
Yeah.
I said, because I'm trying to present what's real. I said, like Planet of the Apes, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, we had to put clothes on them, right, on the apes. And we had to put clothes on Charlton Heston because we could not show reality of what could exist out there because they don't need clothes.
So did you show reality?
Well, no. So I came up with the idea because Bobby didn't want to. I said, okay, so they hypnotize us. And so when we look at them, they look at us. And you look at the movie, we have clothes on.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I did make that statement, you know,
yeah.
that the reason because, you know, of how we are. Yeah. You know, we don't accept nudity or the human race for what it really is. When you exist underground, you don't have a Maytag washer to wash your clothes because you don't need clothes, like I was explaining to you. But anyways, and so anyways, and so and he, then we get to, like I said, it's a very interesting, profound movie, and it has our music in it, a lot of our music. It has like 96 Tears, God 2, 10 O'Clock, just bits and pieces, so you don't hear the whole song, but you just hear a line or two you know, in the background. But anyways, and then, so Bobby says, oh, Mexicano, you know, Mexican. He says, no, I'm not Mexican. I wasn't born in Mexico. And he's not African. He wasn't born in Africa.
Uh-huh.
And he's not Irish. He wasn't born in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
So see, when we meet the human race that is just like us, how are we going to call, what are we going to call them?
I don't know.
No. But see, we label ourselves because of stupidity, you know, and we keep on using it. And I've been saying since the year 2000, this is the time where man should make a difference. Because, you know, we look back 5,000 years, right?
Yes.
We see all the changes and everything, but we don't learn from it. And yet, you know, we're not learning nothing. We just live the history, but we don't change the history.
Yeah, but that's because just like every single person's life can only be one life. You can know the history, but it's not in you. I don't think it is. Like, it doesn't travel through you. You don't get to feel what everybody has felt and the divisions forming and the systems building. You just live your own life. That's all you can know. It's smaller than the entire history, you know?
Well, like I said, we should learn everybody's ethnic cultures, the pronunciation, the language. I mean, you know, the people in Mexico, they don't say Mexico,
yeah.
Right? So why do we keep on calling it Mexico? Why don't we say Mexico? Learn the language, because every language has a romance, a pronunciation. Let's take the time to learn and appreciate all these ethnic groups.
Yeah, but it's
language.
Hard and it takes effort. That's the problem. Maybe people are just lazy.
Well, see,
you're idealistic, I think.
A lot of that is being Americanized, you know? And did you know this? I didn't know Texas was not a Mexican name or Spanish, whatever you want to call it.
What is it?
It's an Indian name.
Oh, that sounds right. That sounds about right.
And the pronunciation, see, then we should pronounce it Tejas, the way it should be pronounced, right?
But nobody will know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but see,
someone stops and asks for directions.
No, but what I'm saying, how can the future generations, you know, learn instead of keep on repeating for the next 5,000 years. You know what I'm saying? Because why should we be teaching our children all these things that we have fallen into and nobody's making a change? And it goes on. And like I said, man will look back at us 5,000 years from now and said, you know, the human race, you know, they had a chance to really make a difference, but they never did.
No, they won't look back because they'll still have that chance. It's never too late to start, right?
Well,
like 500 years from now, they can start calling it Mexico.
But see, but then these countries won't exist and things like that. I mean, America is going to be, like you said, 500 years ago, so I have said that, it's going to be what Palestine is now, a little country hanging on to existence. 5,000 years ago, Palestine used to be the trading center of the Mediterranean.
Yes.
They welcomed everybody. They welcomed the people of Israel, Abraham, when he went from Ur, which is in Iraq, right?
It's true. People forget how new America is 500 years from now.
Saying.
Yeah, 500 years from now it could
country,
be.
And yet, like you said, also everything's going so fast, we don't have time for anything, and people are just being gulped. You know, gulp, 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 gulp.
Are those your dogs in the background eating each other?
Yeah.
Are they Yorkies? I heard that you had some Yorkies.
My manager, Laverne Thompson, just got here.
Oh, okay. That's
fine. Yeah, he just walked in.
That's good.
But like I said, in the movie at the end, sort of like at the end, like I said, I'm skipping a lot of these things. Anyways, there's an Indian.
Interview
right now in Canada. We're shutting his dog. And anyways, I bring an Indian in there, right? Because, you know, Columbus thought he discovered the West Indies.
Yes.
Utter stupidity, right?
Yes.
So he calls them the Indians, right? And they're still stuck with that label. You know what I'm saying?
I know that. Yeah, that's
good. Yeah. Okay, but here's what I... So this guy comes out with a feather because I'm presenting a stereotype, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, and I told Robert, the drummer, I said, well, speak like an Indian. Talk like an Indian. He says, well, how does Indian talk? And I said, then I thought, yeah, how does an Indian talk? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, why don't we do like the Lone Ranger, Tato, Kimo Sabe. You know? I mean, that's my only example that I know without the, you know, the language.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stereotypes floating around that,
yeah,
I guess you could invoke.
And then, but he makes a statement. He says, because, once again, the human race there, even though he looks like an Indian in America,
uh-huh,
on the so-called planet Mars, they don't have those labels. So he says, why do you guys still label yourselves? And Bobby says, what do you mean? He says, are you people or crayons? See how profound that is?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, black, white, red, yellow. You know? When are we going to stop that?
I really look forward to seeing your movie. I think this
see, that's
be,
what I mean.
Yeah.
Our music really deals, like I said, I write my songs for you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I wrote it 96 years and all my songs that you hear now, I wrote them 43 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You're listening to it now. People are going to listen to it 50 years from now, 100 years from now. So that I never write personal songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why my songs are so profound,
mm-hmm,
with their meanings. Because they're not dated. They're not about this happened at this time, things like that, right?
Yes.
So, like 18, when I met Alice, I said, well, Alice, you know, my song's better than yours. And he said, question mark, what do you mean? And I said, yeah, but see, you're dealing with the age 18. If you're 6, 13, you don't know what 18 is. You're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're 30, 45, or 100, or 50, do you really want to remember when you were 18? But my song is 18. You know, and the deals, whatever. See, I never explain my lyrics. However you take it, I write it for you, and you make it your own song. You know, that's what it becomes, and it remains that way, because I never explain my song.
Well, you're a fascinating person.
Well, like I said, you know, I want to get my radio show back, because, you know, I have so many things. Oh, like I said, I don't care about a gold record.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about a million seller, because when they said you're going to have the number one song next week in New York City, I said, so what? Aren't you interested? I said, no. And here's how the story goes. And that for all your entertainers out there, whether in your music or in your careers, whatever, you know, here's what it is. Well, you know, we're like, usually a group plays like about 25-mile radius. If you're lucky, if you could go beyond 25 miles,
mm-hmm,
right? And anyways, well, somebody heard us without a keyboard player.
Mm-hmm.
We were popular, if you want to use the word. Without a keyboard player now, okay,
mm-hmm,
for 2 years. And anyway, somebody heard us, and now they want us to play in Adrian, Michigan. We never, that's not going from here to the moon. I mean, we don't know the people there or anything like that, right? We've never been there. And that's like 10 miles from Ohio, right?
Yeah.
And we went there and we played. Everybody loved us. And I said, my goodness. And this is where, without even a record. It's just us. And I said, my goodness, I wonder how they would like us in Ohio. Well, when they say you're going to be number one next week, I said, you know why? I'm not excited about that because next week, we're in Pennsylvania. The following week, we're in Connecticut. Then we're in Florida. In other words, we went beyond Ohio. And we're still doing it,
yeah,
right? We're going to Canada, right? We've been there before, but Montreal. And then when in 1998, we played in the first time in Greece, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, and they called, and they said, we were in California. They said, question mark, we're so excited about you guys coming over here. How do you guys feel about the first time coming over here? And I told them that little story.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you know, the only thing that separates us is the ocean. That's all it is. But you're the next city.
When do you arrive in Montreal?
The 6th.
Okay, so it's for the Woolly Weekend Festival. Do you plan on seeing the sights at all while you're here? Eating smoked meat, something like that?
Well, I don't know too much other than what I've seen on TV.
Oh, yeah, you've never been here? This is going to be awesome. You're going to have such a great time. It's beautiful in the summer. There's so much going on. The Franco Follies Festival is just wrapping up, so it's all these, like, Quebecois bands outside, free concerts. It's actually a really fun city.
But we do want to come back many more times. And yeah, like I said, our new album, it's already finished, and we're going to release it. It's called Let's Rock and Roll, Baby.
So excited. Can I ask you one more thing before I let you go?
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind doing a little station ID for us? Just say something like, you are listening to CKUT 90.3. This is Question Mark from Question Mark of the Mysterians, or any version of that that you want to say.
Okay, and what is the call letter now?
CKUT.
Okay.
90.3. Or just CKUT.
Hello, it's me, E. Yeah, that's right. This is Question Mark of Question Mark and the Mysterians, and you are listening to CKUT.
Amazing. So great to talk to you, and I look forward to seeing your show at Woolly Weekend on the 6th, I believe. So thanks so much for your time.
Okay, it's been my pleasure.
All right, I'll see you.
And we're going to rock and roll.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Good night.